Good morning and welcome back to your morning drive. News Talk 550 KCRS. It's the voice of West Texas. I'm Chris Moore.
I'm Travis Steele.
And joining us this morning live in studio, we have Tom Slocum, who is running. Is that how we properly pronounce your name this morning, sir?
Yes, ma'am. Thanks, Chris, for having me this morning. It is Tom Slocum, and I'm running for Railroad Commissioner here in Texas. It's great to be with you.
We're so glad that you were here bright and early. Brought Tiffany with you, so we've got another female. Thank you, Girl Power. Good morning, sweetheart.
Good morning, Chris.
Okay, Tom, I'm so glad you made your way in here now. I don't think we actually talked about this, some friends and I, yesterday. A lot of people don't even realize the responsibility of the railroad commissioner, and that's kind of surprising. They think, oh, they run the railroad, and that is not a very accurate definition. Why don't you kind of fill everybody in on the role of railroad commissioner?
Right. So Texas, we've had this thing called the Railroad Commission for a very long time. And when they created it, yeah, we governed railroads with it. And we were the agency in charge of the railroads and oil and gas. Well, over the years, things have kind of changed, separated out. About 10 years ago, we stopped handling anything that has to do with railroads. We only handle oil and gas and surface mining. That's it. So this is the agency that's in charge of oil and gas. There's three railroad commissioners. They each have six-year terms. Every 2 years, one of them's up for re-election. So this is the election year here, and I'm here challenging the incumbent in the Republican primary. First day of voting is February 14th. Election day is March 1st.
Okay. Well, Tom, what you need to do now is introduce yourself to everybody. Tell them what you do, where you're from, and why you decided to run for railroad commissioner.
All right. So, yeah, I grew up out in West Texas in Brownfield, a little bitty town out here. Y'all might have heard of it. And my father actually worked for Halliburton. He was a district manager out here for a very long time. And I grew up around the oil field. I'm fourth generation oil and gas. I'm fifth generation Texan. My whole family's from Texas. I love this state more than anything else in the world. I love waking up and just knowing I'm in Texas, my feet are here on the ground here. I love this land and I love the people. And so I see lots of issues with the Railroad Commission. I see what I think is not very fiscal conservative policy in Austin. We've got a lot of debt there. And they're like, well, what are you talking about, debt, the Railroad Commission? Well, we have all these orphaned wells, and it's about $200 million, give or take, worth of liability, and there's no plan to get rid of it. I have a plan to get rid of it. That's the difference between me and the competition out there. But I also want to make the oil and gas industry more money as fast as we can, too. And they're dragging their feet in Austin with several things. We really need to repeal the flare gas tax. If we did that, we'd start making more money immediately. But there's so much low-hanging fruit. We just got to get out there and start going at it. And we need a little bit of new leadership there in Austin with the right vision to make it happen.
Okay, a question about the flare gas tax. Now, was that mandatory because of the Biden administration, or is that something that they decided to do here in Texas?
Yeah, that's a great question. So this tax on flare gas has existed in Texas for a very long time. And the idea is that if you want to do something with your flare gas, like make electricity from it, that you're going to have to pay a tax in Texas for it. Well, in Wyoming 2 years ago, they had the same situation. They had a flare gas tax, and they decided they didn't like it, and they got rid of it. And that's a very fiscally conservative thing to do, is to eliminate that flare gas tax, because all of a sudden Wyoming got this huge surge of interest in business in Bitcoin mining and converting flare gas to electricity. And so they're really the leader in the nation right now. It's not Texas. I know Greg Abbott said before, oh yeah, we're number one Bitcoin mining. No, we're not really, because y'all haven't done this yet. And I've been trying to stick my boot up everybody's butt in Austin to get it done, but they won't listen to me. So that's one reason I want to run. And there are people that want to repeal this flare gas tax, and we do need to do it if we want to make Texas energy strong.
Okay, so that is a wonderful way to kick off one of your reasons why you're wanting to run. But what are some of the other things that you would like to accomplish if elected in as railroad commissioner?
Yeah, so besides eliminating all the orphaned wells that we have in Texas, which would be a great accomplishment if we could find a way to do that without spending taxpayer money, and I think there is. I think there's a great way to do that, eliminate all those orphaned wells and really clean up our land and clean up our backyard a little bit. You know, it's kind of like when your mother kicks the door in all summer long, you haven't been cleaning your room or whatever, and it's like, hey, man, what happened here? It looks like somebody had a party here and nobody cleaned up their mess. That's kind of what's going on right now to a certain degree, and we can show that we can clean this thing up and have a better image for Texas. You know, why not? Why wouldn't we want to do that and let everybody in D.C. know that we're responsible, we know how to do things, we know how to handle our business?
Can I ask a question?
Of course, okay. Please, Travis.
We're talking about, and good morning to you, sir. We're talking about being below freezing for one of the first times this year, this weekend. And if everybody remembers February of last year, the grids in Texas collapsed, and it was a calamity, and everyone I talked to, it's like 9/11, they have a story of what they went through.
Had to live through,
and
yes,
part
sir.
Of the headaches, and I realize the Railroad Commission does not handle ERCOT or any of that. However, a large portion of our energy grid is backed up by natural gas power plants, and they failed to send, either power wasn't sent to them or they couldn't send out gas. All of these things happened last year, and a lot of people suffered tons of property damage. I would like to give a figure, but I'm not in this chair every day. Are we any better? I know they made a lot of proclamations, and we're going to do this by this date. What have they done now? Where are we now, and can you what would you like to see as far as change affected on that? Was this a lack of leadership? Was it something we hadn't thought of before because it hadn't bit us before?
I think you're right. I think it's kind of like the Pearl Harbor idea, you know. We didn't know because it was a lack of imagination, you know. Like, it was the failure to imagine what would happen. So if you don't imagine this whole thing coming to a collapse, how could you ever prepare for it? We thought we were on mark.
But in 2009 or 11, one of the two, there was a report that says we were at risk of exactly this, and nothing was done.
Right. I do know that they've hired a gentleman named Ted Wooten, which was a good move. I know Ted, and he's going to be there to help look over the critical infrastructure. What needs to happen is we have to take inventory of what we have to produce power here.
Right.
And it is gas-driven, like you said, natural gas-driven. So if we're going to take coal-powered plants offline because of an EPA regulation, and we're going to replace that with a natural gas plant, that natural gas plant definitely needs to be able to handle cold temperatures.
Sure.
The coal-powered plant could, and that was, you know, winterized to whatever degree. Mm-hmm. So whatever we're going to take our baseload power offline, like a coal plant, we have to make sure that whatever we're replacing it with is the equivalent to baseload power that will always be there, whether it's nuclear or whether it's natural gas. We know that renewables aren't reliable. People call them unreliables, whatever you want to call them, but they don't really qualify for baseload power. They don't have the technology to do that. So if we're going to remove coal-powered baseload power, it's got to be replaced with something that is winterized, it works well.
Right.
We've got to make sure that's in place. And if we do a little bit of more Bitcoin mining, it'll actually help strengthen the grid if we have ERCOT licenses attached to that. So if I take flare gas and turn it into electricity, and all of a sudden it gets cold, and, I was using the electricity to mine Bitcoin, but it gets really cold, and now electricity prices are sky high, I can just sell my electricity to the grid instead of mining Bitcoin with it. That'd be a great thing to do. It's kind of like an additional layer of insurance that we can put in. And so if we can find ways to do that, that's a free market response to strengthening our grid without spending tons of money, without spending taxpayer money. So there's so many things we could do like that. I want to see more of that happen in Texas.
Other than the education from the incident last February, are we in any better shape at the moment, other than education and planning, for this to happen again this year? Say it were to happen again this year. Would it fare any better, other than the education we learned last year? Have any of those natural gas plants been winterized as they should have been?
There's been some upgrades done. I've seen it. I've seen pictures of it. I've heard stories. I've heard people going out there and actually making upgrades. So it's not like we haven't done anything at all.
Right.
But Abbott's big plan was actually to build natural gas power plants here in Texas with Warren Buffett's money. And the legislature shot that down. And then Abbott still came out and made a statement about 2 weeks ago that said, oh, we're fine, no worries.
Yeah.
Which I think, you know, that's a bold statement, Cotton, you know, like, hey, I hope we don't have any problems, because if we do, we're all going to look dumb.
Yeah,
we don't want that.
Yeah, I didn't mean to make it sound like I was holding your feet to the fire, like you're the one holding office responsible for that last year.
I just
it
curious.
Is a concern.
It
of,
is.
I mean, it was. So thank you for that. I appreciate you having that answer.
And it was a good question.
Go.
As someone that's an oil field worker, I think that what you said was a very valid point, because that was one of the most devastating times in some of our first of 2021.
Right.
There was hundreds of us stuck out in Orla, no electricity for weeks. You know, I talk to people and they say, well, we never lost power, or we would have the rollouts or whatever they were. We didn't have anything. I mean, we were all out there in man camps, and there went the electricity, the everything went frozen, and we were just stuck, and people were scared to lose their jobs.
We were fine until we lost power, and then we ended up, like a lot of Texans, living in a motel room. It was a horrible time. And then I spent, with my business, I'm an appliance repairer, I spent 2 months with property damage replacing things that froze and split. And, I mean, it was good for my back pocket, but I would never want to see that happen to Texas again.
Right.
Okay, absolutely. We're just about out of time.
Sorry.
It was a very good question. I'm glad that you brought that up. Tom, is there any closing remarks that you would like to share with everyone this morning?
Yeah, tomorrow at 2:30 p.m., we're going to be over at the Rig Restaurant in Midland. If y'all would like to come, it's at 5701 Starboard Drive, and we'll be there watching the Cotton Bowl game. We'll be watching Alabama probably destroy Cincinnati, but you never know. You know, A&M beat Alabama this year, right? You never know. So it'll be a good game to watch. Too bad the Aggies aren't on TV, but we'll be happy to watch that game. And I want to meet everyone. If you've got questions for me, come on down. I'd really like to meet you, introduce myself, let you know what I'm doing and why, answer all your questions. It'll be a great time. Just come on down.
Okay, and something that's kind of exciting, they did the drawing for where all the candidates are going to be on the ballot this year. You drew number one on the ballot in Ector County and number two on the ballot in Midland County.
Yes, ma'am. I was there when we did the drawings, and I guess it pays to show up. It was fun when you get to sit there and draw your own position on the ballot and have so much support from the community. I know people in Midland and Odessa and on upward toward Lubbock and Brownfield. This is my area. These are the people I love, so I'm really happy to be here. I'm excited that I drew those positions on the ballot, and I'm just happy to be here with you, Chris. So thanks again for having me on.
Absolutely. Give them your website in case they are wanting to, like, send you a message or learn a little bit more about you.
Yeah, if you want to learn more about me, go to slocumfortexas.com. You can read up about my campaign. You can email me at tom@slocumfortexas.com. If you'd like to donate $5, that'd be great, too. You can go ahead and just drop it on in, and we'd appreciate whatever you can do for the campaign. But I'm definitely an oil field worker, and I think I'm headed back out to the field with Tiffany this morning to go visit people. So it's going to be a good morning. Thanks again for having me on.
Well, we're thrilled that you made your way this way this morning. Tiffany, thank you for bringing him for us. And both of you, too, have a blessed day and a happy new year. We're going to take a quick break. It's time for your Fox and your local news, and we'll be back here with your Morning Drive. News Talk 550, KCRS, it's the voice of West Texas.